We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Much like Luca's buzzer beater, we're feeling a bit off this morning. It's the Hoops and Hypervisors podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. With me, as always, my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host, Ruben Tomas, a.k.a. Reddit Mavericks. How are you doing, sir?
Better than you, because I guess I drank more water last night, but I was more hydrated than you were.
Yeah, I got mauled by the tequila bear last night, but it's fine.
Oh, that's what it was.
Well, you know, it's a buddy's birthday. And
gotta do it.
He bought a shots called Mexican candy, so I'm sure that's what that really was. And yeah, it was a good time. I think it was basically just like a Jolly Rancher of some sort with tahine on the side of it.
Nice. man.
Yeah. Anyways, but no, I'm actually not doing that poorly. I mean, we went out for dinner, but they were showing the Mavs game, thankfully. So I was able to watch, which was too close of a game, in my opinion. I think that game should have been, we should be blowing out the Paul George and Kawhi Leonard-less Clippers, and instead we lost a close game to them. And I don't know. I think that was us playing down to the competition. I don't know if that was just mental fatigue from the trade deadline. Either way, it wasn't a great look. I mean, you know, Luka got a sort of open look, but it was just you know, airballed the last second three, and you know, yeah, you're gonna. I'd rather him do that in a regular season game that doesn't matter that much versus a playoff game. So I'm really not too worried about it.
Feel that? I mean, you know, looking at this week of games, though, I mean, we had a pretty good week. You know,
sure.
Going three, I think. I don't know if we included last week's Atlanta Hawks game in this, but I mean, we went 3-1 this week if we include that game. So, true. You know, I'm not upset. I just feel like it's like. These back-to-back suck because if, like, usually you can win one. Like, one's winnable, but right. but you're seeing the same team again, like, after, like, 48 hours. And it's like, okay, like, you know, they're going to be adjusting something, you know, if they lose. So, or if they win, you know. Which apparently happened last night. I don't know, like, again, I'm not a tactician. I don't know anything about, like, how the sport works besides the ball goes in the hoop. So
that's why you brought Squish and I on. I understand.
Yeah, it's exactly why I brought Squish and Don in on this. I mean, like, looking back at the games, I mean, like, obviously we destroy the Pistons, which I mean should have been a given.
Sure.
Was sad because Cade Cunningham didn't play, but
right,
you know.
I mean, it was interesting that they put Isaiah Stewart on Luka. I thought that was a weird idea. I guess maybe whenever you are just outmanned, you know, when you just don't have like your best, like when you're already not a very good team and your best player's out, I'm sure it's just a matter of like, all right, time to get weird tactically and see if any of this might possibly work. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, looking at their, like, Sadiq Bey, which was the guy that we all wanted, went 1-for-11. So I was like, oh, that's not a good. Good indication of how he's doing. Jeremy Grant, who did not get moved in the trade deadline, thank God, was 5-for-16. Just not a good game for a lot of people, for a lot of their guys.
Sure.
Of course, our guy is just going the fuck off, which was nice. Again, 30-point win, really cool. I'm totally cool with that, with them continuing that trend.
Yes.
Next game, Clippers, first round one, I guess the Clippers here at home, winning 112 to 105.
Yeah, pretty
fun. Fun game. It was kind of cool to see, like, you know, the Clippers new guys, like Norman Powell, you know, play a little bit. Sure. Robert Covington, like, I think those are gonna be really good pickups for them, unfortunately. depending on if I think for sure Paul George is coming back. I think Kawhi Leonard is still kind of in the air. No one knows what Kawhi's doing though. So he's like Batman. You know, he just shows up at the fucking worst times. So
we don't know if it's gonna be Ben Affleck. We don't know if it's gonna be Robert Pattinson. It's just,
which I'm very excited for that movie. But yeah,
I'm glad one of us is.
Dude, I love Pattinson. So.
Oh, Robert Pattinson's he's really come a long way since Twilight. Like since watching him in like The Lighthouse, I'm like, oh. This guy can actually act.
Yeah, he can actually act his ass off. Yeah. I was like, fuck, yeah.
He's actually a very talented man. And
yeah. I mean, looking at this game, the first Clippers game, you know, Luka going 17 for 26. Obviously, career high 51 points. That was great to watch live.
He did Bobby's number.
He did. I know. I tweeted about it too. I was like, oh, like he honored Bobby by on the day that KP gets traded to, which was like an amazing like storyline. Little thing.
I think it's also just like I am very let's just kind of get to it, you know. I think,
yeah, fuck, let's talk about it. Yeah.
Last night's performance, I felt like, you know, we could have used a little bit of spacing, we could have used some secondary ball handling and probably some scoring off the bench.
There's like a couple rebounds that we should have gotten, like, you know, like,
sure. Well, and also I think that the rebounds won't happen. Well, No, probably not. I mean, like, we are going small ball with the moves that we made. Now, granted, KP, I guess with the trade, my thoughts are on it is that I love the idea of KP more than I think the actual execution of it. And, you know, part of it was just we weren't even getting – I don't think he played half a season for, like, at any point. You know, we've had him for less than half of this contract duration. I mean, like, one of those was like the year we got him from the Knicks, and they were just like, you know,
yeah,
rest,
benched him, yeah,
rest, we're tanking, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like, I never felt like they really meshed well. I never thought we got the best of KP and best of Luka on the same court. You know, it kind of always felt like either or. And that's, you know, that doesn't really, that's not really helpful if your two best players don't play well together. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And like on paper, like it would have been amazing, you know?
Sure.
There are a few games where I was like, oh yeah, like they work really well together. Like my immediate thought always goes back to the Mexico City game where it's like,
right,
they seem to be firing on all cylinders ago. Like they were really connected. They had they recreated the, you know, Dwayne Wade, LeBron dunk, alley from back in the day. Even though it's hilarious because it definitely does not look like that. But I mean, like, it is what it is. You know, the experiment failed. I think it was a sign of organizational growth to go ahead and just like pull the plug now. Rather than you know, like, try, you know, rather than like, okay, like, let's say like he's killing it when he comes back this year. And then gets hurt, and then that's like the injury, you know, that takes him out, like, which was almost like a Chandler Parsons-esque thing, you know, where it's like, yeah, damn, sure, dude, like he's really really hurt now, like fuck, like what, you know, so I
that's
mean,
a very, that's a good comparison, or it felt, or fan wise, it felt very similar of like how I felt with Chandler Parsons as I do with Porzingis, where it's like, oh, if this guy reaches his full potential, like, we're going to be really, really good. And, like, he got there in certain points, and we're like, wow, this guy's hitting on all, and then he's not available.
Yeah. And, you know, I know, I had a few Wizards, like, fans, like, coming to my mention, just asking questions, like, hey, like, how's KP look? And I was just, and then, you know, I co-tweeted and had other people, like, respond, and the basic consensus was that when he's on, like, he's fucking on. And when he's, like, not, when he's not on, that means that he's not available. You know, I will say I will not miss the posting up of 6-3 guards and not being able to finish.
Or failing to do so, or pulling up in front of someone that's a foot shorter than him and not being able to hit a shot.
Yeah, like, you know,
there's certain things where it's like, man, I understand like the high upside of KP and want that, but I also fully understand that just like that's just not what's. I don't know. He just didn't. We never got Knicks KP, and I think that's the sad part about it is like. We either got hobbled KP that did his best. Like, now, granted, hobbled KP was still a good for 20-8 any given night. But I mean, like, to be paying Luka money to that, and it doesn't necessarily work well with what you're doing. I mean, I get why they cut bait. It makes a whole lot of sense.
And like, you know, looking at the pieces we got back, and also. You know, giving up a second rounder, which I think has to be conveyed within a certain like range of where the pick and fall for it to actually convey.
Right.
Really weird. I don't understand how picks like work anyway. But I'm a Mouse fan. But I will like, you know, like the piece that we got back. Okay, like Spencer Dinwiddie was a guy that I did want, you know, in the offseason. That was one guy that I wanted. Davis Bertans was another dude where I was like, yeah, like. You know, if he can hit that 40, you know, percent mark from three, like, I'm fucking down. I remember, like, I have some friends who are Spurs fans, and they were very mad when, you know, Davis Bertans was like, no, fuck you guys, I'm going to the Wizards. Because they wanted him, you know?
Well, I don't think anyone argues that that's a good contract.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. There was a lot of people in my mentions as well that were just talking about it. It's like, oh, they're two bad contracts, and if they're not any good, it's like, listen, it's just frankly just easier to move $16 million a year than it is 31. And yeah, I also just think like they can help our team. Like, and I think them being available is better than like, well, and again, I think what we're doing is we are selling the high ceiling for a higher floor, which sucks, that's not exciting, but like, to be honest, where I felt we needed the most improvement wasn't just like we need this starter to make this huge difference to really shake up what the Mavericks are doing. Like, the Mavericks have been doing pretty well. I mean, like, you know, we're top defense. Offensively, we could be a little bit better, and I think we added some offensive pieces. Like, I think Dinwiddie's going to dominate in the second unit.
Yeah, I think that's gonna, you know, and I think he was starting with the Wizards, which, you know, God bless him, but he's not. I don't think he's really a starter, you know, the way that we would like him to, you know, the way people would like him to.
Think that maybe it's harder to play with Bradley Beal than people are giving it credit for.
That's what it sounds like. Like, looking at, like obviously, like, listening to, like, you know, Berton saying, oh, you know, guys were fighting for minutes. That's why, like, it sucked here and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, like, maybe it's more the organizational thing. Maybe it's more of, like, the players that are already there, you know. Maybe there's a reason why Bradley Beal hasn't been moved yet. We don't know why. You know, that's maybe part of the reason. I don't know, man. Like, you know, day of the trade. You know, I'm glad we did not record the day of, just because, like, I remember thinking, like, we should record after, and I was like, no, I'm at work, blah, blah, whatever, like, you know, we can't really record right now. I'm glad we didn't do that, because I think those emotions, you know, coming in from that standpoint, where it's like, oh my god, we finally got off Kristaps's contract, but oh shit, we took on two shitty ones, you know, I think, like, that mentality, like, it's already happened, like, there's nothing you can really do at that point, you know, like...
Sure.
You know, we're not Nico or Mark. You know, we don't make the moves, really. So,
I think part of it, too, is that I think people really wanted the KP thing to work, you know. Yeah. And I get it, because when we got KP, it felt like, wow, this is a game changer for us. And, you know, there was, I mean, like, the Knicks felt a real element of sadness. And, I mean, like, ultimately, you know, if you think about, like, over the course of what of our transactions in the past 3 years, you know, the assets that we started with, which was DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and Dennis Smith Jr. ultimately. And that turned into, in 3 years, Spencer Dinwiddie in Bertans. That's not like a huge loss. You know what I mean? It's not like we tried it for like a young guy and that young guy just didn't do anything. You know what I mean? Like, and with KP, we thought we were getting this, you know, needle moving star. And like, I mean, he got hurt during the bubble, and that's really where he could have, you know, that's the big what ifs, you know? And I feel like that's like most of what the Porzingis era was like, this will be great if we can do this. And it just, those ifs never happened, you know? And that's what sucks, is like, we never saw the full potential of it, be it because of like petty bullshit or stuff with Rick or injuries, or, I mean, also part of it's fit. Like, it's like, do we want this? Like, I mean, he was a good rim protector when he tried, and like, and when he was healthy, frankly. It's like, in theory, Luka is a perimeter guy, but to be honest, it sounds more like Luka is better compared to someone like Giannis that, you know, like kind of gets the ball at the top and makes something happen and creates that way. So it's not like we need a low post presence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like, this feels definitely like a more modern, like we are going for small ball stuff. And to be honest, I like that more. Like, I'd much rather have a depth of guards that I trust handling the ball than us having KP that can create his own shot or set it up. He doesn't really create his own shot. He has to be kind of set up for it. Sorry, I take that back. And it's just like, I don't know. I feel underwhelmed by it. And like, you know, KP was a star as a Knick. Like, he was like the other unicorn, you know, he was like KD and Giannis. And it's like, I just don't think he's panned out to be that. I don't know if he will be that again. And I hope he does well in Washington. I don't have the KP hate. I'm just like, you know, it wasn't really that great of a fit, even though he put up some stats, you know?
Yeah, And I mean, you know, I'm excited to see kind of what happens now. I feel like, you know, again, you know, trading away him for two other bad contracts, even though they're smaller, you know, kind of seeing like maybe there's a move down the line, right? Nico can finally, you know,
well, what I
spread his wings and do stuff, so.
Well, what I see is two players that are not as good as KP, but could still contribute to a winning team. And if it doesn't work out, which, and historically speaking, that's usually the case with the Mavericks transactions, there's more flexibility going forward than, like, you know, we don't want to be in a John Wall situation where a guy's making so much money that, you know, in order to trade him, we have to give up something we don't want to get him, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that conditional second round pick, who gives a shit? That's so, that's such a, that's not even a person. Like, you know, there's no guarantee that's even a player that's a, you know, a consistent G League starter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of my thoughts on it. However, I do have some Spencer Dinwiddie thoughts if you are interested.
Yes, let's do it. Please don't funds.
No. I was very happy that he doesn't shoot threes. He shoots NF3s, but that's beside the point.
Fuck you. God damn it.
Anyway, so I was crushing some tape.
Oh, sorry. One second here. I am messing with an instance burner. Anyways, so
I was crushing some tape watching. I wanted to watch good Dinwiddie and bad Dinwiddie. Because, and what were the differences between? So I watched a couple of, you know, pretty good games, and like, what did he do well for the Nets when they were like the D'Angelo Nets? And then what was he like with KD? What was he really doing? Right. And, you know, his role started diminishing. And then, you know, he also got hurt. So I was like, all right, does he doing some of the same things as a Net, as a Wizard, you know, but is he trying to do the same things and then it's messing up, or is he doing the same things? Like, is it a circumstance kind of thing? Is it a setting? What's going on? And so what
I kind of gathered was that he is he's a solid ball handler, and he can create his own shot, a la, you know, Jamal Crawford-esque. A guy with a good handle. That's the thing that he seems to be really good at is driving and kicking. Like he wants to set people up. He wants to get those assists. He's really not just like a ball stopping guard, but he can create something if he needs to. In watching him in Brooklyn, it wasn't just that he was a little bit faster because he's just not moving the same way as a wizard. And it didn't look like because he just didn't have that same burst. We saw Wes Matthews, you know, Portland Wes Matthews versus Wes Matthews as a Maverick. Those are two different people. You know what I mean? Like, Wes Matthews was trying to do the same shit he was doing in Portland, but he was just, his legs did not keep up with that. You know, he had to change who he was as a player to keep playing. You know what I mean? So with Spence, after the injury, like, I'm seeing some of his good wizard games, and he had that same burst, that same creativity. His shot was looking all right. But like when I was watching some of the bad games, he's passing out of good opportunities. Like it looked like someone that was like on their third shift in a row at McDonald's and they just don't want to be there. You know, or just kind of like fuck, all right, well, here, you do it. And shot clocks run out. I guess I'll throw up a shot. Like it is uninspired basketball. And granted, I felt that from the entire Wizards team. And now granted, a couple of those games that I was watching, they were getting blown the fuck out. But it's like, but that's what, like, Beal was playing too. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't know. There's this whole, I think there's just some real weird culture problems between I think the Laker boys coming in from the Westbrook trade, the fact that some of their new additions are already traded to other teams, like Montrez going to Charlotte and
Yeah, and
it's just like, you know, you got these Laker guys that have kind of like a chip on their shoulder because they won a championship technically. But then Dinwiddie's wanting to come in and like really like inspire the guys and be a leader, and they just said, no thanks. We don't need one. And it's like, and then you have Bradley Beal, who just, it's never his fault that the Wizards suck. You know, I think really what it comes down to is that he was just tired of busting his ass to have guys pass up on open looks or just like not really care and not really play. Like there was a feeling of like kind of like lethargy and like hopelessness in watching those Wizards games where it's just like, it just doesn't look like it's trying to put a bunch of square pegs in round holes, you know, like,
I get it, yeah,
we've got, you know, Denny Abidja just like, you know, doing his thing. I don't know. There was a whole little, I don't know. When I was seeing that today, I was like, man, this looks like a guy that just like, I really think a change of scenery will go a long way. And the things that he does well, he can still do well. And I just don't think his stat sheet properly shows what his abilities are. That's kind of what I'm getting at. I think ultimately, I think I'm really excited to see him play. I mean, like, he could still be a bum, you know, he could just be like, maybe he's just an uninspired basketball player. But I think like this looked like good player in a bad setting that looks worse on a stat sheet.
Yeah. Feel that. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm, you know, I think it's great that you looked at all that tape, though, because I was not going to do it.
Yeah, well, and by look at, I mean, like, you know, spent 20, 30 minutes just kind of watching different games and like, all right, how is he moving? What's he doing?
Yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't just watching highlights. I actually try avoiding highlights. Like,
those guys are highlights, you know.
And it's just like, the crowd popping moments are not really, also, that's not really what Dinwiddie was known for, you know. He's kind of more of a boring ball player. Like
he really is.
Well, because it's like, yeah, he handles well, you know, he will always lay up more than a dunk. All of his dunks are just like, look more akin to like George Gervin, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's also what's funny about Spencer Dinwiddie, he's really not that old. I want to say he's like, you know, 25, 28, something like that. Like he's still in his 20s, but he just looks perpetually like 45.
Yeah, he definitely does.
And is it Do you think it's because his name is Spencer Dinwiddie? He sounds like an ABA player.
He does. That's definitely an ABA player ass name. Yeah. Like
Spencer Dinwiddie playing for the Albany Patroons.
No, see, like with the Wizards, he has this afro and everything, so he just looks like, and like it's almost like a Colonel Sanders like mustache goatee thing. So I'm like, okay, I can definitely see like, yeah, he's only 28. Wow, what the hell,
like, right? Yeah, but he just looks like a landlord.
Yeah. oh god,
it's great. I'm excited to see Spence in a Mavs uniform. I think because there's some buy-in with this team, like. I think there's just it's something that I think a lot of teams play up whenever a team's not doing well, but it seems like we've got pretty good team chemistry. Guys are pulling for each other. Like, I don't know. I think everyone, you know, people are behind Luka. They're happy to support him, but it's also like I'm loving the what was it when Dodo got his contract extension? They were playing like, was it Get Paid or something?
Yes, I can't it was remember. About yeah, yes.
And just like just how stoked they were for each other. I don't know. I'm always happy to see that kind of shit.
Which, speaking of, like, God bless. I'm also the social media dude. So, like, I will check, like, everyone kind of. I didn't see almost every player do the, like, farewell KP thing on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
But I did see everybody do the, oh shit, Dodo got paid thing on Instagram. Sure. You know, I'm very happy Dodo got paid. Just as a purely like just, you know, going from undrafted to, you know, like generational wealth. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, and also, you know, the quote about his mom working at like Church's Chicken or something.
Yeah, dude. Like while he was like his first couple years in the league, and it's like, dude, like mom's never got to work again, which is awesome. Also just like him, like, I don't know, like he's such a cool dude. And I mean, like even if you're looking at this purely from like a contractual, I guess, like as a pure like money, like number standpoint, like that is a very tradable. That will be a very tradable contract if that ever needs to happen. Hopefully not, though, because I love
think,
Dodo.
I think 15 mil is like the going rate for a starting rotation player. You know,
yeah.
And it's like if that is what he is, then yeah, he deserves that. And like,
yeah,
I think he brings a little bit of the mean that we very much need in this team.
Yeah.
I like that he is more of the quiet type. He's more of the quiet and scowl and like be intimidating that way than it is like guy that's chirping at the refs the entire time, yeah. Which is great because we can't have another Luka.
No, we cannot. So,
and yeah. I think the potential of Spencer and Bertans coming in here and contributing to that culture and like, you know, getting in or, you know, being solid role players and rotation guys, I think that has a benefit. I think we could benefit from that more than just like the very like, we are colleagues, we are doing a collective job, that is what we're doing. And that's kind of how I felt with KP most of the time. It's just like, it never felt like, all right, KP is one of the guys. It always just kind of felt like KP and the Mavericks.
Yeah, that's what I, yeah. So I mean, overall, I'm turned around on the trade, so you know,
yeah,
had to do it. It's going to get into questions. Good. All right, first question comes from Dalton, who is no longer the Texas Waffle. Name is just Dalton right now.
What's up, Dalton?
First question has to be, who you got in the big game today? Obviously, we're recording Super Bowl Sunday.
Sure.
So, who do you got?
So I am. This is one of the few times where I'm just like, I just hope both teams have fun. because I'm so happy for the Super Bowl because on one hand, you know, you got, you know, former Dallas kid, Matthew Stafford winning for a chip, you know, going for a chip. And I think the Rams will win, but if I am rooting for the Bengals because that's just a more fun story. And also Joe Burrow is just like the reincarnation of like Joe Namath in like the most zennial way ever. It's great. Like
yeah. I love Joe Burrow. I love Jamar Chase. I love like all those dudes. Matthew Stafford obviously going for a ring. And then we have Von Miller also going for a ring, who's from DeSoto, so it's like cool. My heart and soul want the Bengals to win. But yes. My brain and my betting line says Rams.
So. Yeah, I think it's also like it is cool that it is the first like home court advantage Super Bowl.
Last year.
Tampa Bay. Did Tampa do it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was last year. Yeah. I know. Time doesn't exist anymore. So.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, COVID year. I don't remember. Yeah. But still, second time. But what's also weird is that like the Super Bowl is such an international game. Like, there's not a whole lot of like football fans at the Super Bowl. You know, that those are like places like McDonald's and Boeing and these big companies, you know, shelling out the fit, you know, they're treating clients to that game. You know what I mean? Like, there's a weird hodgepodge of people that aren't necessarily football fans. So,
yep. Let's see. I don't know. His second question on a more mouse note. Okay. This is for you. Cause I'm not doing it.
Okay.
But, give your goodbyes to KP while doing an impression of Kermit the Frog.
Yo, KP, I think you'd really do really well as a wizard. And we really appreciate you as a maverick. Now it's time to go. Goodbye.
That was so good. What the fuck?
Yeah,
turn it on real quick.
Say you're a theater kid without your theater kid.
For real, dude. Holy shit, that was awesome. I might screen grab that one later, actually.
Someday we'll find it. The unicorn connection.
Oh, I'm so sad.
Dreamers, creepy.
Oh god. Okay, let's see. Next question comes from James Grambo. What is up, man? You don't ask questions anymore. You Philly fell off.
He's too busy posting the thirstiest things I've ever seen on a timeline. Dude.
It's him and Reese.
Yes.
Let's see. He asks, what are your top five plays in Super Bowl history? A lot of Super Bowl questions this week, man.
I'm going to a party for it. The Steelers catch, the Steelers Arizona game, was that Antonio Bryant? Antonio Holmes. I can't remember. All of the Steelers wide receivers like blend together for me. I think the New England comeback against the Falcons is still one I'll always remember. That's the big one.
That's one that still gets memed like to this day.
Well, and it's also just like that's what cemented. You know, there was always kind of like this dude was like, all right, how good is Tom Brady? Is this Belichick? Is this just a good organization? You know, whatever. And everyone's Tom's the best. Like, there's no question. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of other ones or other moments that were really fun.
Also England Patriots, against the Seahawks,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, they don't give the ball to Marshawn.
Oh yeah,
It cuts to Richard Sherman being like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
and no, I was definitely. Like, "Well, that sucks." Like,
I can tell you, my least favorite Super Bowl was the Seattle Denver one, where just like the first play is just a safety or a fumble for like a touchdown. Something dumb.
Yes, that was
It was and it I was just remember that. It was immediately a shitty game. Like just immediately.
That's how you knew. I was like, damn it, okay.
Well, and that's what I'm kind of worried about with this game. Like, not so much because I think Cincinnati's a bad team, because it's weird because it's like, typically speaking, when I predict games, I just go by lines. I go by like offensive line and defensive line, who's better. And it's just like, but also, I mean, Burrow got sacked 9 times and still won. Like, you know, he's just a guy that's like gotten the hell beat out of him forever, and it doesn't faze him. So it's like, if anyone's gonna overcome that, it's a better story. It's cooler. And also, I just love the idea of just like this child.
Seriously, he's a child. Like,
this child that
I don't know if he can grow facial hair.
Is he old enough to rent a car?
I don't know if he can grow facial hair. Like, I'm just like, bro, like,
yeah, like, I've never liked a person that couldn't grow a beard. Like,
Matthew, he literally looks like the kid from Home Alone.
So we got Macaulay Culkin out here, like winning a Heisman, a national championship, and then maybe a Super Bowl.
Yeah. In the span of like 3 years, 4 years.
That's like, save some pussy for the rest of us, dude. Come on.
See, next question comes from Maresban. He asks, what are the best slash worst case scenarios of the Dinwiddie-Bertans trade?
Okay, best case scenario is that Spencer becomes a full-time starter, or just like basically Jalen Brunson times two, you know, with just more length. And Bertans is just, you know, back to his, get not only out of his slump, but is pretty much just the Steve Novak role. Stay in the corner. Once you're open, fire. You know,
don't do shit, bro. Just like, dude, stay there. Don't even dribble the ball. Like,
you have two jobs, and it is catch and shoot. If you do anything else, you are fired. Like, and I think that's the best case scenario, is just like you just have Bertans being a 6-inch taller Peja Stojakovic in the 2011 run. That would be the ideal, like. Or the ideal scenario. Worst case is just like they're, you know, Dinwiddie's actually playing a lot less inspired. I'm just kind of forcing things and like just trying to make certain things work. And then just kind of, I think it's a failure if both of them are like averaging under 10 minutes a game. Like, that's how I look at it. Like, that where they just become non-factors and they're just
bench, like end of the bench pieces. Yeah.
If they get relegated to like Frank Ntilikina minutes and Trey Burke minutes, you know, and they're not. Yeah, I think that would be the worst case scenario.
Best case scenario, I'm gonna go super unrealistic. You know, they end up becoming really good pieces for a championship team. And you know, you know, I can see Bertans hitting the game winner for off a Luka pass, because Luka's getting like fucking quadruple teamed. That'd be cool. And obviously, you know, Dinwiddie becoming like, again, just like a fucking amazing player, you know, with his length and height, you know, as a guard. Worst case scenario being that, they just like the trade sucks ass. They're so bad we can't even trade them off to anyone else. Which I don't think is going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen. Mersbon actually had a good. His best realistic was that they'd play well enough to keep one, trade one, you know. That'd be sure. Cool. I'd like that a lot. Worst of them, you know, you said the worst is for them, that'd be flopping, to have the trade basically flop and having to pay them off their contract, you know.
Yeah. If we're just stuck with them and we don't want them, I think is probably the worst case scenario.
Yeah. Let's see. Next question comes from Jay. Talk about Lucas Carr. He chose the color blue because he's going to be a Maverick forever, obviously. Have you seen his new car? The car he was driving?
I have not seen this new
car. Oh my god, dude. I gotta send you I'm gonna see if I can find it. Jesus, bro. I saw this thing. I was falling asleep because it was after the game on Thursday. And I was falling asleep and I was like, what? And I literally just checked real quick and I was like, oh my god, this is such a nice fucking car. Let me send you it real quick. To both you and Squish, and even though he's not here, just to confuse him a little bit. The car is fucking sick. No idea where he got it from.
Porsche? No.
No, dude.
Is it like the kind of teal looking thing?
I'm not a car guy. I literally just tweeted it. I literally just sent it to the group chat. It's so fucking nice. And yeah. That's a good way to celebrate.
Okay, great.
It's a good way to celebrate the line, I guess.
That's more classic. I appreciate that. Yeah, it looks like is that a Charger or a Stay? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not a car guy,
so it is a perfect Maverick blue.
It definitely looks American though. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, it's
that's American muscle.
It looks like a 70s. I'm just not a car guy. I really don't know. It's 70s, 60s. Era Stang, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Let's see. Chris asks, the Accountant or Latvian Laser, what is the best Mavs player's nickname of all time? I do like the Latvian Laser just because like it's good alliteration, and that implies that he's either like a sniper or some type of robot that shoots lasers.
So. I like that. I thought 3-6 Latvia was pretty good.
That's such a great one
for KP. I think nothing beats the custodian.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The custodian is probably my pick.
I think the custodian's probably Brian Cardinal is the best nickname all time. Yeah. I mean, like we technically had Dennis Rodman, so he was Worm. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, for what, like 19 games? Yeah. So, you know.
Still a Maverick for life. He's still on the court.
Yeah. I will say that I think trying to create a nickname for Luka was such a bad idea. Remember, they're trying to get the Matador thing going on. I was like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, Luka Magic or like the Magician was one. Yeah.
I'm like, that's fine, but
like,
you know.
Yeah. I think there's like a Mudvayne album called LD50. So that wouldn't really work because he's 77. But like,
yeah,
LD50 is some fucking like, it's some sort of death chemical, or it's like the amount that.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I can't remember. Shit. I'm looking this up. Yeah, listen to me Google live.
Let me see what other. I'm trying to think of any other. We don't really have a lot of nicknames in this, especially like in this era. Of basketball, it feels like.
LD50 is the amount of material given all at once, which causes the death of 50% of a group of test animals.
Jesus Christ.
God, that's brutal.
That's super fucking... LD77, could you... Nah.
Yeah, we're beyond the lethal dose.
Oh, man. Let's see. Junior asks... what's your favorite Super Bowl halftime show performance?
It's got to be Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, and Aerosmith, and then Nelly shows up for some reason.
Oh yes, that was a fucking weird dude.
It was like it's definitely like the most 2000s shit ever.
That was like that era. Yeah,
it's late 90s, early 2000s, where we still don't know what our culture wants or needs.
Yeah,
so we like, you know, it's. Kind of the hanging over boomer stuff of like Aerosmith classic rock. And then like, we have like this new, like boy band thing. That's kind of already played out, but they're doing it anyways. And Britney's still, you know, queen and awesome. And I think wearing a sock on her arm, the whole thing, I think that was like the look. If I recall,
man, the 2000s were so cursed.
Oh, there's so much. Well, yeah. I mean, like, I think the best performance was probably either McCartney or Prince, but I would say my favorite was the train wreck. That was the, I don't like one that needs to never be talked about again. And I am ironically saying that.
Bringing it up.
No, it was the Janet Jackson. That was something that literally, if it weren't, things to the like we wouldn't have ever noticed that.
Yeah, no. Let's see. My favorite definitely is Prince. I don't know, man. Tonight might be a good one. Tonight I'm kind of interested to see how that goes.
Oh yeah, Malibu's Most Wanted. halftime
show. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Millennials Most Wanted.
For real. Let's see. I mean, next question.
I like whenever they are at certain. Destinations and they do something that is indicative of their culture. Like they picked a very LA halftime, and I dug it. And I also think the addition of Kendrick Lamar, it was very smart because it's like, all right, let's get someone that's new, but is that wouldn't be so out of place because, like, you know, Lil Uzi Vert or whatever would have been a joke next to all of this. You know what I mean? Or like,
that would have been fucking hilarious.
It wouldn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Or like some. You know, I don't know, or like forcing Jack Harlow on there or something. Like, no disrespect to Jack Harlow, or really Louis, or any of these. It's just like that's just a like Kendrick Lamar is the new flavor that makes the most sense that deserves to be on that same stage.
Yeah, and from LA, so it just makes sense.
Totally.
Let's see. Next question comes from Wes. Mm. If you could have a beer with any Mav ever. Which Mav would you pick, and what beer would you pair them with?
Let's see, Deshaun Stevenson, and I would have a Jester King Black Metal Stout with him.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Let's see. I would pick... Man, who would I pick? I don't even know. Dirk is too obvious. No, not... fucking not deal. Let's see.
Danny Fortson and a Bud Light.
Oh, bro, no. Give me a Stackhouse. Because he was the first jersey I ever had. Right. Yeah, I wanted to be different when I was like 14. Because everybody else had Dirk jerseys. But give me Stackhouse and give me a fucking just like hardworking Pilsner.
Sure. You know what? I want to go with Steve Nash and I want to get a Labatt Blue.
Fuck yeah, let's go.
Fuck yeah. Canadian beer.
Hell yeah, let's go.
I also want to recreate that. I love, like, I think Steve Nash is 41 forever.
Yes.
How much he brings up just those ugly drunk.
So fucking funny, dude. God. They're so proud of it too. They just won't admit it, but they're so proud of that fucking photo.
Well, I think also that may be one of my just favorite like human stories is like basically Steve Nash realizing like, man, this kid is away from home. He does like he's good. It's like it wasn't a matter of talent. It was just about like, hey, let me just show you how we do things in America. You know, like he just kind of like, yeah, I'll be your friend. I adore that. It's the best.
So Wes asked this and some people responded. Jonas had the best one where he said Rodman and I pair him with the whole brewery. And maybe some other things besides alcohol. Let's see. Next question comes from Bro Donald too. Asks favorite KP moment from his time here.
I mean probably the Mexico City dunk.
Yeah, that's probably it, I think. My other one would be whenever Luka was out and we beat the Bucks.
That was
something the charge. Yeah, that was cool. But you know, and I remember thinking, "Fuck, we're gonna lose by like 20, dude." Giannis, and we somehow ended up winning. So
that's fair.
Yeah. Jonas asks, "Should there have been more trades for the Mavs?"
I'm sorry.
Jonas asks, "Should there have been more trades for the Mavs?"
I don't really think so, because I think then you're starting to mess with just like we weren't in a position where we needed to tear it down, you know, or make a, I mean, like one would argue we've already, you know, made the biggest trade we could, you know, we moved a bigger piece than I think people thought we were willing to move.
Yeah.
And so we kind of did the let's sell high on this as soon as we can, you know, kind of deal. I think if you're trading guys like Maxey and Powell and Dorian, you know, like we're to trade three of those guys to get a big, you know, some big player, whatever, that's such a huge culture shift. Like that's something that you do when you're like, none of this is working. Fuck it. We're tearing it down and starting over. And I don't think that's where we were at. Yeah. So
I think the only thing I would have done additionally, maybe, is to maybe try to get off one of the, Trey Burke or someone, and try to get like another big, you know?
Sure.
That probably would have been it. Again, like I know Nico said that we're done, like we're not looking at the buyout market, but I think he said that partially also just to make sure like no one's like freaked out on the team. Because I don't know, if I'm a GM, I'm not fucking, you know, spilling out my wants. Unless I'm Daryl Morey, because Daryl Morey did that and somehow still got his guy. So, you know.
The Harden Simmons trade, it makes sense basketball wise. It's all these things. It's just two of the things that are the worst parts about current basketball. Guys just not wanting to be here, even when they're in a good situation. Like, yeah. It's just kind of like, hey, here's a guy that didn't play because his feelings were hurt and then claims mental illness was the issue. Or, yeah, you know, no, fuck which, that.
Which, you know, I mean, he might have, I don't know. Like, you know, it's, you know, it is kind of weird to pull that card, you know.
It's a convenient time to bring that up, you know. It's not like, okay, Kevin Love, for instance. Kevin Love has always been very up for, you know, talking about, like,
you know, how much mental health has been something that he's really faced and struggled with there in the league. And like, I know it's not just like, you know, you're allowed to keep that private, but it's also to put it out there why you're not play. Like, I don't know. It's also just like, I've got no sympathy for multimillionaires. Like, you are playing a game that you can, that you're already talented and like have won the genetic lottery to be able to play well. You know, you are 6'9" and aren't falling apart. That you won, dude. You have enough to make for your entire, like an entire generation of family if you want. And you pissed that $20 million away. Like, what I would do for $1 million is unspeakable. I'm not proud of what I would do. What I would do for $100,000, how much that would change my life. And Simmons pissed away $20 million out of some petty bullshit. Fuck that. And then, and ultimately got what he wanted. Same thing with Harden, you know, and like, you're playing these max contract deals and you're still, it's like, why are you not happy? You have, you can, at this point, James Harden could own all of the strip clubs, all of them. You could just buy all of them.
Speaking of, did you see what that Sixer, some Philadelphia yes. area? Yeah, so I was like, yes, I'm not going to retweet this. But
I saw a retweet of it. It said, "Twitter is perfect. You can't tell me otherwise."
Yeah,
and it's great. She's like, "Yeah, I gave James Harden a lap dance, and he told me he's a Sixer." Next day, told you.
So fucking funny. Anyway, next question comes from Gaspier asks. Can you dunk better than Mavsman? I'm challenging Mavsman right now to a dunk off. All right, let's see. Last question comes from Joe. Will you be rooting for Kristaps from now on?
Yeah, I mean, I have no ill will towards KP. I think ultimately he's, you know, it was just a bad fit and injuries came up and that's kind of the end of it. Like, I hope he does well. This is not the same thing as far as like my hatred for Rondo going forward.
Yeah. Like, the thing about me though, is like, and some people will call me harsh on this, but, you know, it's a morning. I definitely like unfollow like players who don't play with us anymore. Like, I just sure. do. The only people that I do follow still are like the 2011 team, you know, just cause sure. that's the 2011 team. But, you know, so I immediately unfollowed him on everything. Cause like, okay, cool. This is done. You know? And I look up like Spencer.
You broke Dibley up
stuff.
With him.
Yeah. You know, Spencer Dibley stuff is up there and I don't think Bertans is actually online at all. So I was like, okay, cool. But,
good for him. I like him more now.
Right. You know, like he has his priority straight. But like I'm just like, okay, cool, like he's gone, like whatever. Like, I'm not gonna actively like follow his career. Like, if people tweet things on Twitter, like, okay, cool, like I'll, you know, see that if someone retweets it. So, you know, I will be very happy to see like how he does, you know, like obviously when we play against him, I'm like, oh yeah, he played for us, you know, but I don't actively root or like not root for people unless it's Rondo. So
yeah. I think really, yeah, Rondo, Odom, like guys that just kind of did it dirty. You know what I mean? Like okay, when Monte Ellis left, like I was rooting for Monte, you know, like,
yeah,
and kind of always have. Like, I don't know. I just don't put, like, I don't care about DeAndre Jordan. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, more surprised he's still in the league, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. Are they still playing significant minutes? Like, it's always very funny to me. But
yeah.
Anyways, best of luck to KP. You know, yeah. he played his best when he was here and when he was able to. So that's really all you can really say about that.
Yep.
And that's all I can really say about that.
And that anyways, is the podcast.
All right, cool. End of the podcast. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Sorry, we had some technical difficulties there. Thank you very much, Ruben, for editing. We're going to have this up before Super Bowl Sunday. So we hope you guys have a fun, responsible Super Bowl Sunday. Have a great time. Follow us. You can follow me at You can follow me at Don_Denim. You can find Ruben at Reddit Mavericks. We frequently live tweet games. We even do like live commentary on games occasionally. And so just follow us on Twitter. That's usually where you can find most of our stuff. We also are, you know, our website is mffls.com. So please be sure to, you know, just give that a gander, look at some of the articles we got going on there, game recaps, things of that nature. So, this has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Later, guys.